All right, it is time to pay off the wager. Our weekly visit with ESPN, ESPN Plus, SEC Plus Regionals, Tom Hart, and he joins us each and every week thanks to our friends at Craneworks.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, Craneworks, Craneworks, yeah, the big dog's got it.
Tom Hart on McElroy and Kublik in the Morning is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it, the big dog's got it. And now, Tom Hart.
Tom, always great to have you on the Bud Light Hotline. Coming off a great weekend in Tuscaloosa. Got to hang out there, stayed at the Alamite, got to eat at Forte. It was just a wonderful weekend. Got to see another competitive football game on the field. But what did you come away from Tuscaloosa thinking about this Alabama football team?
The Alamite is legit, by the way.
Very nice.
I mean, maybe a couple really nice hotels in College Station, but maybe the best hotel in the SEC. Take Nashville out of the ranking. I'm just going to throw that out there. Greg, for your future trips, just keep it in mind.
I haven't been to College Station this year, so.
That one was in Tuscaloosa.
The Sheridan Five.
Well, he just said College Station.
Well, no, I think I was
a little confused.
He was saying that other than College Station, nicest hotel on the SEC tour.
Gotcha. Not sure which one College Station is, but I know where Tuscaloosa is, and I know where I'll be staying. That'll be Birmingham if I do a game in Tuscaloosa.
Fair enough. Cole, I mean, I was really impressed with what was the biggest concern coming in, which is kind of trying to find warts on a supermodel here, is where is the passing game, where is the relationship with Bryce and his receivers, and that was answered right off the bat. Ja'Cory Brooks, every yard on that opening drive, four catches, punches it in, hooked up with Trayshon Holden, obviously Jahmyr Gibbs is a threat out of the backfield. Bill O'Brien is, I think he's a little bit unique in the college game in that he has so much NFL experience that NFL coordinators, and Greg, you did talk me off the sledge, convince me if I'm wrong here, but they go in every week looking to see where do we have an advantage, and they're willing to change or adjust, I should say, who they are based on the personnel on the other side of the field. And they went into that one, and Vanderbilt was giving them all sorts of space on the perimeter, and they said, fine, we'll take it. If you're going to give it to us, we'll take it. And they just ate Vandy up and turned Jahmyr Gibbs into a decoy in the first quarter, at least, if not the first half. There was no need to really run the ball, and they put the ball into Bryce's hands and said, spread it around, and if they're going to give you 10 yards off the line, hit those receivers, and they make guys miss, and it was really impressive. It was efficient, surgical.
When you look at where you would be concerned if you're Alabama, where would you be most concerned?
Man. Cole could speak to it more, but, the offensive line isn't perfect, and they had some penalty issues, and usually those penalty issues come because you have guys that aren't playing at a high level or at least aren't focused on a high level. But I think otherwise offensively, And there was a scare with Latu, grabbed his knee at one point, but he came back in the game. I think they've got all the pieces. We spent a lot of time talking with Bill O'Brien about what they're doing with their two-back sets, and I think if you hear the word two-back and you immediately picture, Tom Rathman and Roger Craig, right? Like, oh, this is going to be old-school West Coast, and they're just going to run all the time and just go play action, but O'Brien was saying, no, we're going two back because we can get mismatches and we can be versatile in what we do. We can shift to anything with two backs on the field. They could be in the backfield or we could go empty backfield. And Gibbs is such a good receiver. And, he's so comfortable as a wide receiver. It's kind of hard to think of him as just a running back. And so they can use that versatility against anybody. I don't know on the offensive side if they're missing anything. On the defensive side, a little bit hard to judge based on the competition. The corners are still a little bit of a concern, especially with the depth there. But that's only against, setting the bar so high and judging them against other national championship contenders. I don't think that's something that's going to show up most weeks, even in the SEC.
All right. Speaking of the Alamite, we were hanging out in our rooms watching the Auburn-Missouri game together. Jordan got there in time to catch the majority of the second half with us. Just revisit what it was like for you watching this game in its entirety. Remove the Missouri portion of it, but just that football game. Like, what did you leave that game kind of thinking what you had just seen?
It set us all back like a decade. It was horrendous. 11 consecutive punts, and every other possession, one of us was literally yelling at the television, and it wasn't so much watching as fans like, oh, my team just made a play or didn't make a play. It was, you just missed another play, or you just made another boneheaded play. It was constant. It was really bad football across the board. And you made the comment, and Drinkwitz has answered this question. He answered it postgame. But when Missouri took a knee with about a minute to play inside the five-yard line, you're like, wait a second, shouldn't they be trying to score a touchdown here? And nah, they're good. They got a guy who's an All-American kicker who's never missed an extra point and is perfect inside the 30. Like, we're all good here. And then he pushes the extra point wide. And then they have a guy, how about this? This fumble going in to win the game, and I pulled up this nugget, I know you love it. Like, that one, a guy that was trying to be fancy or anything, 239 career touches, and he fumbled for the second time. Like, that's a Stanford kid who grew up in Columbia, Missouri. He wasn't trying to, like, showboat or anything. He's just trying to score the game-winning touchdown, and he drops it. So, and Auburn made plenty of mistakes as well. I thought Auburn's offensive line was a sieve the entire game, and Missouri doesn't exactly have a threatening front four either.
Do you think maybe we're reading a little bit too much into that? Maybe Missouri actually is pretty decent up front defensively. Like, I really don't know, because that was the worst I've seen Auburn look in a while, I feel like. They didn't look good, by the way, I might add, against Penn State, but I think Penn State's pretty good. But that felt really bad on Saturday. So do you think that was maybe Missouri's better than we thought, or is this exclusively about Auburn being nowhere near what they need to be?
No, I thought on that day both programs were about equal to each other with the talent level that they had on the field. And if you're looking for, you know, a comparison, ask yourself where Missouri is. You know, what did they look like against Kansas State? They fell behind 14-0. They were never in that game. And I think Kansas State is a pretty good college football team. You know, top 25 worthy, but they're not a top 10 team. If we're talking about comparing performances and the transitive property, which is always a fun but dangerous game to play in college football, that Missouri is okay up front on the defensive line, just like any other SEC team is, but they should not have been able to wreck through that offensive line that easily. And it's missed assignments a ton of times, right, Cole? I mean,
there were some
guys just whiffing.
No, not as many as guys just flat getting beat. But yeah, there were some missed assignments where guys just came free. I mean, I think you could compound multiple things for why it was problematic up front for Auburn. But yeah, not great at all. So you tweet out during the game, what should our wager be between you and I? My favorite response to that tweet was the gentleman who stated that we should have to watch this game again, that would be punishment enough. What was your favorite response as to what our wager should be for that football game?
That one stood out. I mean, somebody said we should wear the other team's jersey on air for our game that night, which would have been kind of odd, calling an Alabama game wearing an Auburn jersey. That would have gotten a little bit of attention.
Probably wouldn't have gone over
that. We didn't need to go that public with it.
So you lose the wager, and you wanted to go out there and put it out that we would sing the other team's fight song. So Damian actually has the music.
Nobody sent me the lyrics. Hold on. I think I've got some of them memorized. I might be able to pull it off.
It's somewhat repetitive, so there are a few that you should be able to know and memorize. But we'll give you a moment to, as Tom Hart joins us on the Bud Light Hotline here, thanks to our friends at Craneworks, each and every Tuesday at 9:20. he tries to locate the lyrics for the Auburn fight song.
I got it. I'm good. Let's and, get fired up.
All right, you ready?
Let's make sure I got the right
here's
song.
Here's Tom Hart paying off a wager singing the Auburn fight song. Stop, Damien, stop.
You're
stop.
Off to
hold
a,
on a second.
Off stop, to a roaring stop, start stop, there. Stop.
I thought there was like a slow, like.
No, this thing gets right
we
into
get
it.
We get right into it.
We don't mess around in Auburn. We go right to it.
Damien, sing with me. Come on now.
No.
No.
Do
I'm,
not
no.
do that.
I'm
this
not.
This
a,
is your stage.
This
we
is
have
you.
Set this up for you. In a, three, two,
in a three,
one.
Two. Fly down the field. Ever to conquer, never to yield. One. Eagle, fearless and true, fight on you, on the champless. Go! On to victory, strike up the band. Give them, wait. Oh, give them hell, give them a stand up, you know. Hey, Eagle win for Auburn. Power of Dixieland. Hit them high, hit them low, something. Is that pretty good?
No,
did I get the lyrics right? Did I read the right?
I think you got most of the lyrics
yeah,
right.
Got it.
Your timing with the music was well off, but understood for someone who is not familiar singing that song and hadn't been a part of it before. So, yeah. Now we head to Columbia, Missouri. Georgia comes to town. What are you expecting from this matchup Saturday night?
Well, there was a lot of drama with Missouri yesterday. Luther Burden, consensus five-star recruit, only the third in program history, scrubbed his social media. Then he tweeted back late last night, like, no, I'm all in. I'm a Missouri Tiger. It got me thinking, like, the value of a top recruit at Georgia versus Missouri, and I pulled these numbers, and since the Rivals era, I don't know how far back that goes, but since we had real tracking of five-star recruits, Georgia has had 61 consensus five-star recruits. All right, I'm guessing that's second to Alabama, but I didn't look up the Bama numbers. But just from a perspective standpoint, 61. Missouri has had five. So if you were building an NFL team and you had 61 first-round picks and your opponent had five first-round picks, which is essentially what a five-star is, there should be no time that other team ever competes with you, right? Now, obviously, college players are a little bit more inconsistent, but that, to me, illustrates the disparity between the two programs. Georgia, obviously, heavy favorites going in. 2 years ago, they're heavy favorites. Missouri hung around, was within a touchdown at the half. This is a Georgia team that Kirby's going to have extra motivated based on their kind of sleepwalking through the Kent State game. So I don't know. I think Missouri last beat number one team in 2010. Oklahoma came to town, and game day was there. Blaine Gabbert was at quarterback. Missouri threw the first punch, got a kickoff return for a touchdown to set the tone. That was also a night game. If Missouri can throw a punch in the first quarter and hang around in the first half, then they have a chance. But they have shown a propensity to fall behind teams that are better than them. 14-0 at Kansas State, 14-0 against Auburn. You can't fall behind this Georgia team and hope to have a chance.
Probably would agree with all that. It's going to be interesting to see just kind of how Missouri wants to try to attack this Georgia football team. Great stuff, Tom.
Are you going to have pizza at Shakespeare's this weekend?
He actually said no.
No, we're going
to
mix it
what
up.
About that, what about that wing place you took me to the one time? I feel like we did something up there. I don't remember what it was.
You probably had boneless, too, didn't you?
No,
it was pretty good. It was not a bad spot.
I have never been in Tacoma with you, ever.
I think it was back in the era of the spring tours, back in like the 2015 spring tour era, in spring of 15.
Let me check my calendar, but you might have him mixed with somebody else.
Well, I definitely did a spring tour with you at Ole Miss. I know that for sure. I'm fairly certain I did a spring tour with
exactly
you.
Exactly the same.
At Missouri as well, but I can't recall.
Oxford and Columbia often get mistaken for each other.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm sure you'll have the plans loaded up. I'm not concerned about any of the plans this weekend. I know you'll have that under full control. And you always have control of who welcomes you into our show each and every week, and that's Craneworks.
Yeah, and Craneworks is the most trusted name for crane and equipment rental in the Southeast for over 30 years. They have a fleet of cranes ranging from 2.5 tons to 500 tons. Craneworks also offers trained and certified operators to make sure the job is done right. visit craneworks.com for more information.
Great stuff, Tom. That will make the internet. We'll make sure of it. And catch up with you later this week.
Copyright laws, you guys probably don't want to publish that. Just saying. Save yourself the trouble. Keep it under wraps.
Got it. Thank you. Tom Hart, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline.
Very concerned about the top copyright.
Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste when there's fun. Bud Light is there.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.